This episode is brought to you by Oddmos Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
This episode is also brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. With their ever-growing selection of spirits, beers, and local wines, as well as some awesome gifts that you cannot find anywhere else, they're much more than your average liquor store. Find them in the Fred Meyer Shopping Center. Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
So, if you haven't heard, Oregon was canceled this week. It all began with Thursday's announcement of urgent new rules imposed by Oregon Governor Kate Brown in an effort to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus, or COVID-19. The measures included canceling all large gatherings of over 250 people for 4 weeks, imposing strict limitations on long-term care and assisted living facilities, and recommending workplaces implement social distancing measures such as spreading out employee workstations, limiting in-person meetings and travel, and staggering work schedules when possible. Governor Brown said, quote, "We are now in an unprecedented public health crisis, a rapidly evolving global pandemic. Most of us have never experienced anything like this. What is clear is that we must take immediate action to stem the spread of COVID-19 coronavirus and act now to protect those who are most vulnerable. We know that these efforts to fight coronavirus will have an impact on our daily lives, our livelihood, and Oregon's economy. But this disease does not discriminate. We are all facing this together, and these steps can save lives." Governor Brown submitted an updated request to Vice President Mike Pence last week. The request outlined Oregon's urgent needs from the federal government to support coronavirus response efforts in Oregon, as well as anticipated needs moving forward. Cancellations of events in the Canby area hit fast and hard in the wake of the governor's announcement. The much-anticipated daddy-daughter dance hosted by Canby Rotary and planned to take place Saturday night at the Ackerman Center was one of the first casualties. The club said the decision was, quote, "out of an abundance of caution through communication with Oregon's governor, CDC guidance, and input from the Canby School District, our site host. While this saddens us, we believe it is in the best interest of all people in our community to do so," organizers said, adding that ticket holders would receive a full refund in the coming days. The event will be rescheduled for a later date. Daniel Stolby, a member of Canby's Oregon Trail Pitch Pipers barbershop singing group, announced that their annual show at the Canby Fine Arts Center had also been canceled for Saturday night. "It was a tough decision, but we want to make sure that we have a safe environment for those in attendance and a successful and productive show that is enjoyable for everyone," Stolby said. "Thank you for your patronage, and we will be working with our guest performers to ensure that they are available for a future show date." The annual fundraising dinner and silent auction for Bridging Cultures Canby was canceled for Saturday night. In an email to supporters, coordinator Janet Diaz said, "This decision is consistent both with our mission of strengthening our community and our values of creating a community where everyone feels safe. We express our sincerest appreciation for those of you who registered and already donated, and we look forward to speaking with you to discuss additional donation options." She said the group is working to reschedule the event and will keep the community informed. The Canby Transgender Alliance's Leading with Love March, planned for March 18 prior to the city council meeting, has been postponed. "We've decided to come to this conclusion as a group due to the viral outbreak," said CTA member Diana Saracen. "Our major concern is that of health, and not just our trans community, but also of the community at large." Finally, Canby's new Great Gatsby-themed event at Gwyn's Coffee House has been postponed. Organizer Donna Bryan said that although the event was going to be much smaller than the threshold for large gatherings set by Governor Brown, she made the call after talking it over with owner Mallory Gwyn. "Things like this are just out of our control, and the safety of others is of the utmost importance," Bryant said. Our promise to you here at the Canby Now podcast is simple. We are not going anywhere. We are normal people, more or less, and we share many of your fears, concerns, and uncertainties about this unprecedented new reality facing our community, our state, our nation, and our world. We are in uncharted territory, but we've been there before, and here we are, surviving. It's the human superpower. We will get through this, and we will emerge on the other side, stronger than ever. Through it all, we will be here to cover the news and keep you informed as best as we can. And if there's anything else we can do, let us know. Think of others in these difficult times. Lean on people when you need to, be kind, and as always, wash those hands. We'll see you Thursday. Hope for the best, plan for the worst. It's time-tested advice, and Canby city officials have been following it in recent weeks as they prepare for what the governor described as an unprecedented public health crisis, the rapidly evolving global pandemic that is COVID-19. Canby Fire District Chief Jim Davis said he has been in constant contact with City of Canby and Canby police officials, including Interim City Administrator Amanda Zyber and Lieutenant George Tro. Chief Davis says, quote, "We are working hand in hand with Clackamas County Emergency Management as well. We have emergency protocols in place for things like a major earthquake or other natural disaster, and we're treating this the same way." Coronavirus is known to pose a more serious threat to the aging population and those with underlying medical conditions or compromised immune systems. In response, Chief Davis and city officials have met and reviewed established protocols with all of the local senior care and assisted living facilities. This includes Hope Village, Ratcliffe Place, and Countryside Living. Chief Davis said he and other leaders have been carefully tracking the spread of COVID-19 and have paid particular attention to where the outbreak has been the worst, Kirkland, Washington. "Officials are not expecting this to be a short-term event," Chief Davis says. "They are in for the long haul and looking 1 to 2 months ahead at minimum." "We know it's going to get worse before it gets better," he admitted. "Right now, we're just trying to slow things down a little bit, try to not overtax the healthcare system, and hopefully allow everyone to get the medical assistance and treatment they need." Officials are encouraging residents to limit their possible exposure and follow a few common sense guidelines. Wash your hands regularly with soap and water, avoid close contact with sick people, or stay home if you are sick yourself, and avoid touching your face with your hands. In the chief's words, just good hygiene. And obviously, stock up on all the toilet paper you possibly can, right? But in all seriousness, moderation, and leave some for others. "I haven't quite figured that one out yet," Chief said with a laugh. "I guess people are anticipating a shortage." The Canby Public Library, Canby Swim Center, and city offices closed Friday and remain closed until at least April 1st. The city announced earlier that day as agencies at all levels of the state took unprecedented action in an attempt to stem the spread of COVID-19. The next city council meeting on March 18 and planning commission meetings on March 18 and 23rd, respectively, have been canceled. The city has previously suspended all other board and commission meetings. At this time, Interim City Administrator Amanda Zyber said the City Council is planning to meet at its next regularly scheduled meeting on April 1st. If it looks like that might not happen, she says the council may consider holding a special meeting to address anything that is time sensitive. This could include the Strategic Investment Zone application for Columbia Distributing's new facility in the Cambie Industrial Park, which needs to be approved and go before the State Business Development Commission by April 10th to meet current deadlines. The March 24th Municipal Court Day has been postponed to April 14th. Any necessary court activities will be handled remotely by city staff. All police personnel and law enforcement essential services will continue to operate, though public contacts may be limited. Essential operations for public works, wastewater treatment, and transit operations will continue, and Zyber said the city is not anticipating any disruptions in services at this time. City employees who do not work during the mandatory closure will continue to receive their regular wages. We have an amazing staff, and everyone is working together to make sure we continue to offer essential services to the community, Zyber said. Utility bills will be delayed until the second week of April. Utility payments can be made online. Court payments may also be made online or by phone at 503-266-4027. For any public works emergency during the month of March, residents may call 971-266-9764. Park maintenance may be limited to essential services, but public restrooms will remain open at this time. Zyber said, quote, "We will continue to monitor and evaluate all city services and will constantly reassess as we receive more information. We understand these actions may be disruptive, but it may be the best way to slow the contagion. The citizens and staff members of the City of Cambie are our number one priority." For more information about who to contact for what, see the article titled March Sadness on CambieNowPod.com. In consideration of staffing challenges and health concerns due to the public health threat of coronavirus, Governor Kate Brown announced late Thursday night that all schools in the state of Oregon must be closed from Monday through the end of March. Governor Brown said she made the unprecedented decision after hearing from superintendents, school board members, teachers, parents, and students that it had become, quote, impossible to functionally operate schools due to workforce issues and student absences. Schools were experiencing critical shortages in staff, and superintendents were concerned for school personnel who are at elevated risk, such as those over age 60 and those with underlying medical issues. But the governor said she wanted to be very clear. Sending Oregon children home will not stop the spread of coronavirus. The hope is just to slow it down and ease the burden on what many officials fear is an unprepared and under-resourced statewide healthcare system. This is a trying time for our community, and I am reluctant to increase the burden on families who are already struggling to adapt to and stay healthy during this crisis, Governor Brown said. However, we are left with little choice in light of school district staff capacity and operational concerns. I want to thank all of the teachers and school employees who have worked hard to keep our schools open until now. Following the governor's lead, Superintendent Trip Goodall confirmed in a message to families Friday that Cambie schools will be closed through March 31st, a large portion of which was designated for spring break anyway. All school activities, including athletic events and practices, are canceled. All facilities are closed to the public. However, the school will still be providing meals for families who need them. They will be providing grab-and-go breakfast and lunch for anyone between the ages 0 to 18, March 16th through 20th, and March 30th and 31st. They will be serving from 8 to 11 a.m. at Baker Prairie, Carousel Elementary, Eccles Elementary, and 91 School. We understand the hardship that this decision will cause many of our parents, but the health and safety of our students, families, and staff are our top priority, Superintendent Goodall said. As always, we appreciate your partnership with our school district, and we will do all we can to work together. Teachers and staff will also continue to be paid during emergency closure, Goodall said.
Canby Now Sports is brought to you by Rife and Hunsaker, PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. The Canby Cougar dance team will not get a chance at a sixth straight state title this year, not because they're not good enough. Sadly, it's because the 2020 OSAA Dance Drill State Championships were canceled Thursday in the wake of rising fears over the coronavirus outbreak and new rules by the Oregon Governor Kate Brown banning large gatherings statewide. Said OSAA Executive Director Peter Weber, quote, "As this unprecedented public health emergency continues to evolve, we believe that the responsibility to our member schools and communities regarding the health and safety of participants remains our highest priority." The OSAA says it will work with their ticketing partners to ensure those who purchase tickets for future sessions are reimbursed. The Canby dancers were, of course, crushed by the news that their quest for number six was over before it even began. "I have a daughter on the team who is pretty devastated right now," one parent said on Facebook. "So much hard work." Several parents questioned why, especially for a performance-based sport like dance that does not require head-to-head competitions, the teams couldn't simply video record their routines for the judges, send them in, and be scored remotely. "We reached out to ask the OSAA, but they said nothing of this sort has been or is being discussed. Sadly, the event is simply canceled, period." After receiving the heartbreaking news, head coach Jennifer Chafee said the dance team chose to gather for their regularly scheduled practice on Thursday night. Note, this was before Governor Brown had ordered all schools to be closed and before the OSAA had followed her lead in suspending all activities for spring sports. Chafee said the team sat in a circle around one of the props that would have been used in their show performance, made to look like a large tree from a desolate landscape. "Together, we processed our sadness, frustration, and anger at what we lost," Coach Chafee said. "We talked about grieving the loss and we cried together. Then we shared our favorite memories from the year and the stories just poured in. Almost every memory brought smiles and laughter to a room full of grieving souls. We cried, we laughed, we cried some more, and we talked about what would help us feel closure on our season." When they left the gym, parents surprised the team in the lobby with a standing ovation and ice cream, proving that they understand the age-old truth, there is no disappointment in life, however daunting, that can't be made at least a tiny bit better with ice cream. Said Coach Chafee, "It was a beautiful evening, and in the midst of our sadness and grief, you could feel the love of a family, an amazing dance family that chooses to celebrate the amazing memories we have made over our nine-month season. Thank you, parents. Thank you, dancers. We love you all and celebrate you." All spring sports, which had been set to begin this week, are suspended through March 31st. All practices and contests are canceled.
The Canby Now podcast is brought to you in part by DirectLink, where technology meets tradition. Canby's longest-running and most innovative communications provider for over 116 years, DirectLink has worked hard to bring quality services to the area at affordable prices. From establishing phone lines in the early 1900s to being the first gigabit internet speed provider in Oregon, DirectLink paves the way for new technology so our neighbors can stay connected. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities.
We'd like to extend our undying gratitude to Canby Now Plus member Brenda Soderlund. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we love. To find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.
All right, on the Canby Conversation today, joining us once again on the Canby Now podcast is Chris Sunshine Lanciani. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I never get used to that when someone says my nickname.
Right.
You know, at the Portland gym where I train, everyone calls me Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
In town, everyone calls me Coach Chris.
Okay.
So it's like...
I like Sunshine.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get people sing-songing it? Like, remember the time? Like, Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. My favorite is when I was, like, really fighting a lot in Portland.
Yeah.
I'd be walking around when I lived in Portland and just, like, people would be screaming out of their car, Sunshine, or something like that. And I was like, man, this is cool.
Yeah. So joining us in the studio this time, you were just kind of chatting how much you appreciate it. And we've come a long way since the last time you were on the show and we had our little crappy little recorder and putting it in your face all the static and everything that comes along.
I love it, man. I love the hard work. I just love seeing hard work pay off. You know, in society, you know, it's, I don't know, I feel like we have some people that work incredibly hard, just kind of, and I like to see it rewarded. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, you have the coolest freaking, you've seen the tattoos on my arm, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a superhero half sleeve. I got it years ago. And
yeah,
then
I love it.
They started making movies, and then I was like, oh man, I'm that guy with all the movies on his arm.
Right.
And you've got a Marvel superheroes freaking...
arcade box.
Yeah, arcade box. I'm like, what do you even call those anymore, dude?
Yeah, arcade cabinet or whatever.
And you have pretty much my favorite ones up here. You know, I wasn't really an Iron Man guy, but Batman, Captain America, Venom and Spider-Man was like my favorite thing.
Yep.
And Wolverine and his not brother, Sabretooth, was a big one. I don't see that up here, but that's cool.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, well, you know, some of it's just based on what we can find. But yeah, Wolverine, a big fan of his as well. Captain America is my favorite comic book and favorite movie. Not at all my favorite on the arcade cabinet, I gotta say. His powers are boring to play with, right? Like, you know, I love the character, but if I'm gonna be a superhero, I'm gonna be Spider-Man or Iron Man or something like that.
Yeah, they don't give him much of anything other than punching and kicking.
Right, just punching.
Like, make him throw his shield a little bit more.
Yeah.
No, but back in the day, dude, that's a lot of digital work.
Yeah, right, you know, right.
My aunt was a part of, like, the team that kind of helped create eBay,
you know,
and they broke down programming for me back in the 80s and stuff. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
How far we've come.
Yeah. So I don't even know what to call you. Do you call yourselves with Bellator? Are you professional fighters? Or what's kind of the language? You obviously own a gym here in town, Sunshine Athletics.
Yeah.
And Fabiano Schirmer.
Tell me. Yeah, so that's just my head coach.
Yeah.
And it's like we're an affiliate under him. So the business, you know, my academy is Sunshine Athletics, and we offer – you know, Fabiano Scherner Jiu-Jitsu, and, you know, so I'm trying to pay homage, is that the word? Is that the
homage,
homage? Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Thanks, college
Close enough.
Education. I was never the writing, you know, literature guy.
Hey, we all have our things,
That's
man.
That's just, you know,
we all
whatever.
Have our strengths and weaknesses.
I killed it in advanced statistics, but I don't get to use that anymore.
Yeah.
So
put me in a Bellator fight, and you'll see what some of my weaknesses
my
are.
Gosh.
So don't even worry about it.
So as far as your first question goes, though, professional fighters. So there's amateur mixed martial artists, and there's professional mixed martial artists.
Yeah.
And the sport is mixed martial arts.
Okay.
Whether you see mixed martial arts in a fight or not, that's up to the fighter.
Yeah.
But it came from, you know, the history of it. Most people probably have an idea of it. It's just like human fighting in the cage, you know.
Right.
But it's become so refined. You know, in my last fight, I was more of a boxing wrestler.
Yeah.
As opposed to a full-on mixed martial artist. But we did use clinch work. We used submission work. You know, there were knees, there were elbows, there were kicks. So it was a full MMA fight.
Right.
And so then there's levels to professional fighting. There's low, I wouldn't say low level, but like entry level professional promotions where, you know, you only get a couple $100, you know, it's right next to your house. Everyone comes to see you.
Yeah.
Then there's kind of like that mid-level promotion. I fought in one of those called King of the Cage. And that was really cool. And then at the very top, the NFL quotation marks, so to speak, of fighting is Bellator, UFC, and ONE FC.
Okay.
ONE FC is an Asian promotion based in Singapore.
Okay.
And so they basically, their whole marketing thing was, we are in Asia, so we have all of Asia under our control.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. And they actually did
are the
good...
styles different over there? You see more of like
you
the,
see more
the
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai.
You see,
yeah.
You see more Muay Thai styled fighting, and their grappling is very mediocre.
Okay.
Like, and that's not to be rude. It's just there's availability in different parts of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll see better grapplers in the on the Western Hemisphere, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone knows the UFC. Yeah. That's like kind of a because they've monopolized the industry.
Right.
And then I fight for Bellator specifically because I like underdogs.
Okay.
I was always an underdog.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have been my nickname if it wasn't for the way I goof off in practice.
Right.
Got the sunshine.
Yeah.
So these other two promotions, Bellator, ONE FC, disrupt the whole, they make it a fair playing ground.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you like the underdog thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been an underdog my whole life. You know how there's like naturally gifted athletic individuals?
Yeah.
Naturally gifted individuals, period.
Right.
I was only really gifted at reading.
Yeah.
I mean, I could read and remember all of it.
Yeah.
Everything else sucked.
And I don't want to out you, but I mean, you grew up not as athletic, right?
No.
And you kind of are now, right?
I did every sport.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I was good at it. Yeah. I had those parents that, you know, kind of ruin everything for you. Well, they did a lot more than that, too. I mean,
right.
I also have had three broken noses that came from home, but that's a whole different story. It's part of my motivation for everything that I do as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrible at all sports, including wrestling, which I am now considered a high-level grappler in, again, one of the biggest martial arts organizations in the world.
Right.
And I went like 5-35 freshman year when I first started. Seriously, I joined freshman year.
Yeah, usually when someone's that bad, you don't even get to go to 40 matches. So.
I made it to varsity. We had such a small school.
Yeah.
I made it to varsity, but I still had to beat a guy for it. And then sophomore year, I had to beat a guy for it. And that was the worst part. The guys, they would have done better than me, but I just had more grit. So I would always beat them in the practice room and then just get outclassed.
Mm-hmm.
I think my senior year, I went like 20-20.
Yeah.
I almost made it to state. I beat guys who were state placers.
Yeah.
So that means I got like honorable mention.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's nothing to sneeze at. So.
That's awful, man.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Fresno, Clovis is like if you split Canby up by the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Literally, that's how how the whole area was, Fresno and Clovis. And
yeah.
You had this huge like wealth disparity between like ultra rich and like dirt poor.
Yeah.
And so
I don't have too many of the ultra rich here, but
oh dude, that's just the Central Valley of California.
Yeah.
It's just it's been changed so much over the last like 15 years. I've just been watching it as like a slightly educated adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip. But yeah, I wrestled against Clovis kids my whole time. So if you look at that up, and this will probably make some Oregon people mad, but Clovis had more. So we only have one state tournament. We don't have 1A, 2A, 3A.
Okay.
We have one state tournament.
Yeah.
And then the state is subdivided up for wrestling with districts and valley tournaments.
Yeah.
And then state is it, and it's huge.
Yeah.
We had more state people from Clovis in like 20 years than anyone else in the nation. And then they went on to the national tournament and won all those too.
Yeah.
And that's who kicked my butt. That's why my wrestling wasn't the best.
Right.
But
he had good competition.
That's it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, I think you kind of fly under the radar a little bit. Like you're sitting here in the studio, you know, and not in your athletic clothes, and for a certain reason we'll talk about. But I wouldn't, if I didn't know it, I wouldn't necessarily say that's a professional MMA guy, you know.
Unless you look at my ears.
Right.
Yeah, they're kind of weird. The cauliflower ears, so
okay.
They get damaged.
Oh, from getting hit.
And grappling and all that. Wrestlers have them too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I gather you kind of like that a little bit to kind of be what? Under the radar a little bit, not necessarily like have everyone be, that's Chris or whatever. But then you go into what I think would be one of the most terrifying things to go into a professional MMA ring. And you often win. You acquit yourself quite well, you know, in that space.
16 fights. Technically, there were 17. The way it worked out, one of them, the guy missed weight by so much weight.
Right.
You know, it just counted.
That was the one before this past one.
Yeah. It's in between my other win.
So that was just a forfeit.
Yeah, they call it a forfeit. You know,
yeah.
In my books, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I kind of get paid, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these taxes. You still got to pay your coaches.
Yeah.
We don't fight, but I, you know what I mean? So 17 fights, and I only lost two of them.
Right.
You know, and that was in a not that anyone knows this, but I had a lot going on in my life. That was the first time I'd had so much adversity at one time.
And the two losses were earlier in your career, right?
Earlier in my transition in pro, yeah. So yeah. I fought 8 amateur fights and won them all almost by like submission in every single one of them.
Uh-huh.
Knockout in the first one. Anyways, and then went 3-0 as a pro. Bellator mm-hmm. picked me up, won the first one.
Okay.
And then some crazy life stuff happened, yeah. lost 2 in a row,
mm-hmm.
and both were by decision. So basically mm-hmm. like how I won the last one,
right.
by points, this right. style.
Which just means there wasn't a knockout or a submission.
Exactly.
It went the full 3 rounds.
Yeah, exactly. And that never really happens to me. And then after those 2 losses, boom, finished this guy in the first round who was like a rising star
mm-hmm.
in my division. And then they give me another, you know, kickboxing world champ. I mean, I've just been fed killers on the highest level.
Yeah.
I love it. And yeah, I love that in town I'm walking around. What I like to be known of in town is Coach Chris. That makes my day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've wanted to coach the wrestling or help coach the wrestling program in town since I moved here like a couple years ago. I mean, I've been in Oregon for almost a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like, you know, I like the fighting. I like what it does. I prefer it as an outlet, though, for me and help grow everything else I'm trying to do in town.
Well, let's talk about your last fight. Who was the opponent?
His name was either Salim, mm-hmm. like Mukhaninov.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Tajikistan.
Yeah, I knew. I've seen the name, but I didn't want to try to pronounce it. So thank you for doing that.
Well,
for
now
me.
That we're having like a professional conversation with it, and the fight's over, I won't like make fun of it. That's like a persona I get into.
Right. I remember I saw some articles where you know you were kind of razzing him a little bit about how he wouldn't trash talk back to you
because we're in an entertainment industry,
right?
As well.
Yeah.
And there's a level of like respect I have still for every opponent, but also we need to sell the fight, and a lot of casual fans like it when we tease each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and I do it to an extent because I have a lot of young kids
watching
me and younger,
looking up to you.
Future. Yeah, the future, man. And you got to set a decent example. I want them to show, hey, you can take a joke, you can give a joke.
Well, when you talk about the underdog aspect that we were talking about before, to me, that is a big part of the appeal of sports in general, whether it's MMA, UFC, you know, football, basketball, whatever, but that storytelling piece, right? Sports are stories to me. You know, it's not just about winning or losing. It's not just about the final score, but what the athletes accomplished to get there and who they are and where they're coming from. You know, like one of the greatest boxing movies of all time, right? Rocky, he lost, but he went the distance, and that was the victory for him.
I watch that every week.
Oh, really?
Every fight, before every fight. On
you do?
Fight
you
week,
watch
I
Rocky?
Watch Rocky, yeah.
Yeah, just the first one? Or
no, I mean, I watch them all. It depends.
Yeah.
No, pretty much always the first one.
Rocky's
and then,
your one is well, your favorite?
Yeah, we'll just get
not
we'll
a Rocky
see how
Four guy?
It's not. No, it's not that I'm not a Rocky Four guy. We'll just see how much I can get through. You
right.
know, Sylvester Stallone is a bit much, you know.
Yeah. 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 But when you start talking about stories, oh my gosh, dude, your last fight, like, I mean, you were talking about how you try to, like, make it an entertainment thing, but, like, mm-hmm. this could be a movie. You broke your leg in the fight. In the first round.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was like a, you know, I said to the doctor, I'm like, oh, it's just a fracture. And the doctor goes, no, that means it's broken. It's a break. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I do get to tell people I broke my leg. He's like, yes, because it
because
is broken.
Because that's what happened.
Yeah, and I'm like, because I hear fracture, and I'm just like, oh, that's no big deal.
So we've mentioned this went 3 rounds. It went to a judge's decision.
Yeah, 3 judges' decision over 15 minutes of fighting.
Yeah,
nonstop.
But this happened in the first 5.
It happened in like the first minute. There was something that happened, and I have to watch the fight again.
You're not sure how it happened.
I believe it was some type of like just little pivot motion that I did. I know it sounds
just a freak
silly.
Motion, yeah.
Literally just a little motion that
happened.
Well,
there's so much
going
force.
On.
Yeah, so much going
so
on.
So much
that
going on,
yeah.
and all you have to do is pivot wrong on one way, and then bam, you know, something's broken. And I felt it, and then I felt my leg just slowly lose control.
Right.
Like as if I was.
I remember you talking about it after that was a big thing that I slowly started to hurt a ton, obviously.
Yeah, no, the pain was instant, but the lack of control.
Okay, was what grew.
It stopped listening to me.
Okay.
I mean, so I have pictures on my phone where my whole left leg just looks like it's just hanging there.
Yeah.
And I'm using my whole right leg and the rest of my body to drive this man who was an incredibly large 145er.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked bigger than me in every sense of the word.
And he did.
And I still manhandled him to the ground for 3 rounds
yeah.
with a broken leg.
Yeah, that's crazy because, like you said, there was a lot of grappling, a lot of which obviously uses the full body, including, you would hope, generally both legs.
I did that on purpose. I actually had a really good plan to kind of get into, there's different ranges of fighting, ranges 5 to 1.
Yeah.
And he plays around in range 4. And I was getting into range 4 is where you can kick me without stepping.
Yeah.
3 is where you have to kind of step back. But so it's boxing range.
Yeah.
I said, get in and box at them and get them exhausted, then take them down. And then let him up and then hit him some more and then just do that rinse and repeat. But with the leg broken, I said, oh crap, I have to just take him down and just try to ride him because, it wasn't my favorite way to win.
Right.
Anyone else would have done the same thing in my position.
Yeah. So what were you – so you realized you had to adjust your game plan. You didn't know it was broken. You didn't really know what was going on. Give me in your head. Yeah, what was going on?
I had a feeling it was broken because I know my body.
Yeah.
I have a very high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
And it was just a different kind of pain than I'd ever experienced in my life.
Had you broke the fibia? Fractured the fibia?
Yeah, I fractured the fibula. The top bone. Yeah, right at the knee.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. I think it just happened on a pivot.
And you haven't had an injury like that before?
I've never broken a big bone or anything. I've broken my fingers, almost all my fingers and all my toes.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I've broken my nose, but that's cartilage.
Yeah.
This is like the first, like...
Yeah, 20, bone break.
25 years old. It's the first time I've ever really broken my leg.
Yeah,
You know, all these other kids got it out of the way early.
Right.
So my bones just needed to get a little... I should have drank more milk.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So I just immediately... I have probably... I would say it's fair to say I have pretty high fight IQ.
Yeah.
In the moment, everything slowed down for me.
Okay.
So that's how I've always done really well.
We're going to take a quick break to listen to an ad, and then we will be back to talk about more beating people up and how it's good for your health and stuff.
I'm here with Derek Hill at Advantage Mortgage, and you had some advice you were wanting to put out there to prospective home buyers.
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy out there right now. The housing market is just blazing fast, especially in the first-time homebuyer range of prices.
Oh, cool.
So it's imperative that you find out all the ins and outs. You know, how much can you afford? What's your payment range that you want to be in? What type of loan program you're qualified for? Because there's a lot of no-money-down loan programs that are available, but they really might not be best for you. In my experience, those loans have an increased payment that if they had a little bit of money down, they wouldn't need. But the great thing about Canby is it's eligible for the USDA loan program, which is a no money down loan. But my point is, it's just super important to get it figured out before you start looking, because I've seen customers go find the house they love, they call me and they're like, you know, let's go. Right. And then by the time we get everything dialed in, which can be in 4 hours, that house is gone.
Yeah.
And so it's just way better. So I just want to make sure that consumers know, give us a call. Just give us, you know, let's meet, let's talk about it, let's get everything dialed in so that you know exactly what you're up against. And then you're ready. You can make that offer and kaflooey, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And people can find you on your website or just give you a call?
They can go to findtheadvantage.com or call 266-5800, obviously 503 area code. And we love to chit chat, and we have, you know, 8 or 9 different loan officers here in the Canby office that would love to sit down with somebody and work with them.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Derek Hill, NMLS number 50183, Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 177059, Equal Housing Opportunity.
So tell me more about that process, the IQ.
So everyone has like a game plan going into a fight, and they have like their own skills, you know, or maybe they'll focus on their opponent's skills. Like this guy's a boxer, so I got to do this. I don't focus on any of that. I focus on everything I know I have and everything I'm pretty confident in. Like I've done this to as many training partners as I could without hurting them, obviously.
Yeah,
I don't go out there and go, oh, I have this knee kick.
Right.
It's just amazing. It's like you kick anybody's knee, they're going down.
Yeah.
And then you go into a fight, and it doesn't matter your game plan, because the second you get hit or break your leg, you have to focus on the now.
Hmm.
I am on TV in my underwear with thousands of people I know watching me, and I can't use my leg. Change the plan.
Yeah.
And so that ability to do that in the fight, most fighters have a problem with that.
What made you keep going? What made you not, like, call it, you know?
This will sound super corny, dude.
Yeah.
You know, we only get paid 50% if we lose.
Okay.
Okay? And we don't make a lot of money fighting.
Yeah.
You're talking taxes. I have to pay a nutritionist. I have to pay each coach.
Right.
I have to fly them out.
Right. This was in Vegas, right?
No, Thackerville, Oklahoma, middle of nowhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. It's okay. A lot of
I knew you had to fly out. Yeah.
Everyone thinks Vegas because that's just where a lot of fights go down.
Right.
So,
you don't normally think of Agrabah or whatever.
No, you have to pay your manager. You have to pay gym fees. You have to pay monthly gym fees to use the facility. And then when you have a fight, you have to pay fees on top of it. It's a whole crazy industry I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you get your paycheck cut by like 30-40%.
Yeah.
You don't make a lot. And if you lose, guess what? You lost half.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the money. It was about, we're at a point with my business, you know, we're transitioning to a nonprofit.
Right.
Well, we're not transitioning. We're adding multiple nonprofit programs.
Right.
We're adding a veterans program where they can come in once a week and train for free under a specific program just for veterans, active duty as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding a survivors program for women that have, I mean, that survivors is a very, I wouldn't say loose term, but it covers a lot, right? From, you know, medical to the really messed up stuff. And so they have their own program, you know, where they get to do it once a week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the after school program for the kids, Monday through Friday. And I won't be able to do any of that if I lose this fight. And so I'm in this position. I'm like, I have to squeeze this dude like a freaking anaconda. And I know it hurts. And I'm like, but there's a lot of people hurting out there right now. And if I can just suffer for 15 minutes and then do them a whole bunch of good. That's what I'm saying. It sounds corny as hell. I didn't want to say it.
I don't think it sounds corny.
But I was thinking that the whole time. When I took his back in the third round, I knew I had to wait for the third round to beat him. Because I was like, if I can just get him down, I know I can lock him up. I didn't want to force my leg to do that because I knew it would turn off completely.
Yeah.
And it did. Right at the end of the fight, it shut off.
Yeah.
But I was able to squeeze the out of this guy
right.
for five more minutes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, what's going on? You know, but I controlled him. If that was a real fight, I'm not allowed to punch the back of the head. I'm not allowed to elbow him in certain positions.
Yeah.
So I just held him. I'm like, well, he's not letting me do anything, so I'm beating him. That's the most dominant position.
Yeah.
That's why I kept going, because I knew if I failed, I would have failed so many freaking people in this, and not just the town, but the community of which I'm trying to help.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't think that's corny. That sounds amazing to me. Yeah. I mean, you're just filling out the screenplay for the movie at this point, but no. Was there any thought to, you know, whisper to the judges, hey, I broke my leg, see if that gives you bonus points in the decision?
No, but honestly, so the way I won, and it's kind of weird, I wouldn't say they cheated me, but the one judge gave him all three rounds. So every round, both fighters start with 10 points.
Okay.
And then things happen in that round that either deduct a point from one or the other fighter.
Right.
So two of the judges, both solid identical. I won round one and round three.
Yeah.
So that means 29-28. So I had 10 and 10 points, 20. I lost the second round, so minus 1 point, so 29.
Uh-huh.
He lost round one and three, so 9 plus 9, 18, won the second, 28. The first judge, I don't know what fight he was watching, he scored all three rounds for him and gave him a 30-27.
Okay.
So 30 for him, 27 for me. The other two judges are like, so if it wasn't for those two judges doing their job, I would have lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. So that when I first heard them say that, my heart sank, and I was like, oh my gosh, I did everything I possibly could.
Yeah.
And I failed.
Yeah.
And you could see it on the tape when they say 30-27 him. And then the other two judges said it, and I'm hearing it, and I'm like, holy crap. Did they watch the fight?
Yeah.
I think they watched the fight. I think I just won. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the first judge's score was read first, so you thought you lost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They always do that. They always read it off just to mess with everybody.
Yeah.
So then it was considered a split decision.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, it would have been a unanimous decision because I won 2 out of 3 games.
Okay.
You're not gonna win one round of a game and I win 2 rounds and then you tell everybody, oh yeah, we split it down the middle.
Right.
No,
right.
Unanimous. I 2-1, dude.
Yeah.
I beat you.
Well, pretty amazing. Thank you so much for giving us that window. And like I said, I think just the sheer human determination is very inspiring, and I think your reason for doing it is inspiring as well. But just the fact that you would in the pain that you were in and what you were enduring, and just that striving to not give up, with, like you said, folks here in the community watching and rooting for you, especially kids looking up to you, I think it's quite a quite an image and quite a thing to put out there. Speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about that process and what you're hoping to do. So you started out here, like we mentioned, with Sunshine Athletics, the gym for jiu-jitsu, and
Academy.
The academy.
A gym is a place you just come and go, right, man. This is an academy. It's not. Yeah. It's not bad at all. It's just you know. Sorry.
But the nonprofit aspect grew out of kind of the folks that were going to the academy anyway, and getting help through that, right? I mean, you have had. I know you've ever since you've been here, you worked with a lot of vets, and you've loved working with the kids. So that's kind of the process, right? It just kind of grew out of where you were finding you were helping people.
I wouldn't say it was like a niche, you know, or whatever, or niche, however you say it. I'm butchering all these words, but I saw there's a lot of issues going on, right, with our own industry of martial arts. Mm. And I just saw this huge need, especially in this town, for some kind of like real after school program. And it's just weird, man. We live in a weird time where we charge. People are paying for things that I feel like they shouldn't pay for. I'm not like telling everybody they get free money. I'm not a political guy. I stay out of all that. And especially as an athlete, I think that you should stay out of it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, if we came back on later, private citizen talk, you know, different. But I believe there are certain things that people are just, they should have a right to, right? Mm-hmm. Human rights stuff.
Yeah.
Especially kids, especially people that have put in their time and their body and their mind, you know, are veterans.
Yeah.
And people that have had their you know, rights violated and abused, you know, in our survivors program. Mm. You know, they didn't get to choose to get cancer. They didn't choose to have that incident happen to them. So we need to help them. Mm. Plain and simple.
So your survivors program can be cancer illnesses as well. And I assume this is involved as well, but I kind of took it like domestic violence survivors and that kind of thing.
That's the big one.
Okay.
Yes, but all survivors.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot, and it's crazy, man. Everyone is affected in so many ways, you know, big or small. You could say big or small, right? But it's not, there's no big or small. Everyone's
always big.
It's always big, right? And so I don't rarely, like one out of 10 people.
Life or death is never small.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, one out of 10 people that come to me at my academy, and I say academy because I really, it's an academy, it's a learning place. It's
and
not
because
a,
you're an X-Men fan, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and, you know, a gym is just something you come and go from, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not how it is. I hate to say that, sound corny again, but we're like a family there, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone in our academy, our community, we take care of each other.
Yeah.
One out of 10 people come in actually just wanting to have some type of fitness workout.
Right.
Right. Most of them have something going on. You become so much more when you run an academy.
Yeah.
And so I saw that and I thought, man, okay, how do I set up a program that's not about the money? Right. There has to be a balance here. And then the
neurotherapeutic pediatric therapies.
I talked with Melissa. Her daughter does our program.
Oh, cool.
And she just helped me kind of like look at it from a different angle. I'd never expected it. And the nonprofit thing just made so much sense.
Yeah.
So, and that's the direction we're going in, and we're having trouble finding space in town.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been digging on that nonstop.
Mm.
And when I started my business, and there wasn't really anyone in town that gave me a chance either.
Yeah.
Except for this guy who owns a building that I've talked to twice in 2 years.
Right.
So, and I had to pay everything I'd ever saved up in my entire life to open the place.
Yeah.
You know, like 4 or 5 months down payment. Yeah, like that. And a deposit and a guarantee insurance thing. It was insane. Mm-hmm. I took a huge risk, and I'm so happy I did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now we're in this next step. Our lease is coming up, and we're just trying to find our next home.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, you know, just kind of like this is the type of thing that should be available to the folks that have basically earned it, you know?
Yes.
Either through bad things that happened to them or their service to our country. But also, I mean, it's not just like a reward. I mean, this has a really positive benefit, right, for folks that are, you know, suffering from PTSD or for kids who may, within the absence of this, may be tempted to other paths, right?
And this is why you're the interviewer, man, because you know everything that's going on in my head. I'm a very blunt, like, I fight for a living, man.
Right.
You know,
I appreciate you toning the language down compared to our last interview as well.
Yeah, no, that's different. That was like really close to the fight too. So I was
you were so tired.
And I was like in my persona. Yeah. So what you were saying was a perfect example. There's so much in my head when I think about it. It overwhelms me, honestly. So I try to just get the base points across that, yes, it changes people's lives, period. Mm-hmm. That's it. I have not met one person that dove into it legitimately, not going into it because they wanted a belt, you know, or they want a medal, or they want to, you know, or they want to mess somebody up. Well, you know, I just want to be able to kill somebody. You know, I have a right to kick anyone out of my academy at any time. I don't care how much you've paid.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think. If you are following the wrong morals, you're out. Mm. And I have done that already. I mean, it's just people like that.
Yeah.
We don't do that. That's not my thing. It changes lives for those who really need it. That's the 2 cents behind it. So.
Awesome.
I get so emotional about it, man, and I try to stay so detached
as
because it's a business and all that, but it's not a business, man. It's it's really not. It's freaking therapy.
Yeah.
I've become a freaking psychologist, you know, life coach, all this stuff. Not stuff that I necessarily asked for or even wanted when I started this. I just knew I was 200 and something pounds. I had issues with drugs. I was dropping out of college. I couldn't finish anything. I was homeless for a minute. I just lost my whole way. This was before I met my wife. I was like 19, 18 or something like that. Just so lost. And then I met her at the same time that I met this guy in Southern Oregon that taught jiu-jitsu. And it was a bad environment. That's, like what I just talked about, that was their environment. I was like, this is awful. They beat the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I was transferring to Portland State already, moving to this area, and I met my coach. So everything changed. I mean, it literally, in the last 6 years, my life has changed so much from martial arts. And I grew up with it, and I lost it at some point. And I wish I hadn't lost it, but that's just part of the journey.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Well, we're really happy for you. I do think that the process makes, or the change makes a lot of sense, going to a nonprofit. And I know, the startup, finding the right location, all of that can be really difficult. Anything that we can do to help, or other folks, just let us know. But we're rooting for you. We're in your corner.
Thank you.
And just really happy that you've landed here in Camby and are doing good stuff for our youth and our veterans and survivors.
Love this town, man. And just tell everybody, you know, we're looking for our new home. That's our thing.
I'll do my best. That's kind of my thing, is telling people stuff.
So. Yeah.
Welcome to the Camby Now Community Board, where we would normally tell you about the local events and other things happening around the community. That's much harder to do this week, given the uncertainties around the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're changing this segment a little bit. Until normalcy returns, and it will, we want to use this space to share of local efforts to help others who are less fortunate or more vulnerable to the outbreak. If you are offering help to the community and want to share information about that here, please get in touch with us by email at info@cambynowpod.com. Now we'd like to read a couple messages from local officials. First, Mayor Brian Hodson, from his blog on Thursday, March 12th. Find the original post at hodsonmayor.blogspot.com. I want to take a moment and give an update on COVID-19 in our city. I have spoken with Chief Davis. Camby Fire District is closely monitoring the situation locally, regionally, and nationally. They are communicating with Camby Police Department and with our interim city manager almost daily. Chief Davis and CFD have had conversation and reviewed protocols with Hope Village Senior Living Community, Ratcliffe Place Assisted Living Community, and Countryside Living. Camby Adult Center has protocols in place for our seniors in our community. A question came up today about emergency communications and do we have them? Here is what Chief Davis shared about this. Yes. For emergencies, there are communications via emergency text alert through your TV, cell phones, and phone. The Clackamas County Emergency Operations Center is open daily and on weekends, monitoring everything that is going on. Camby Fire has been helping in planning at the EOC every day by having a firefighter there to monitor and assist. If Camby has any issues, we will activate the city's EOC plan and call in the mayor and interim city manager. If you want the most recent updates, please look to the Camby Fire District website and the City of Camby website. To reiterate, wash your hands often. If you don't feel well, then stay home, self-quarantine. If you have neighbors with poor health, check in on them. When there is challenge or when people are in need in Canby, step up. Let's step up and do what we can, when we can. And now, from Chief Joshua Williams of the Aurora Fire District, posted to the district's Facebook page on Sunday. Good afternoon, everyone. I, the fire chief, wanted to take a moment to impress a calming feeling for our citizens. I'm sure my public information officer is going to be horrified now he knows I have access to the fire district Facebook page. This is not a canned post with a bunch of government links and an overwhelming amount of information. It is simply my thoughts as I sit here in the now. I am writing this as I sit in my recliner with my dog Leah, my kids are napping, and my wife is busy working. I am the fire chief, but I'm also a regular guy with a family and the same concerns you have. I understand that the past few days have been full of a large number of developments. School closures, social distancing, and a significant amount of coverage in the news can be very overwhelming. I want you all to know that on a local level, we are here and ready. The Aurora Fire District and our partners are doing well under the circumstances we've been given. We have made some changes at the fire station in response to groups and activity. We maintain a group of dedicated men and women emergency responders that will continue to meet your needs. We are listening to experts and taking any recommendations we are given from state and federal officials. We are in preparation mode, not panic mode. We respond to infectious calls every day and we have systems in place. Sure, this has potential to be on a larger scale, but we are prepared. We will all get through this and we will get through this together. The AFD is very lucky to have such a supportive community. It is our pleasure to serve you. Sincerely, Joshua L. Williams, Fire Chief, Aurora Fire District.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.